Hi, we're talking about endangered species over the next 4 weeks. And an endangered species is a species that is at risk. Perhaps they're under threat. There's a good chance that there won't be many left in our world if we don't take action to change the way things are going. And so perhaps it might be a Sumatran tiger that's endangered, or a rhinoceros, white rhinoceros, or whatever the species may be. So I thought, you know, there's a lot of people who are Christian, and they are Christian by title, but are they actually living as Christians in their life? So I thought, well, why don't we do a series on what Christians should be doing as the basic things in living out their faith. So the first one is reading the Bible. Second one would be praying, then living a godly life, and then sharing what you know with your friends. Now, you might say, yes, I do all four of those, in which case, brilliant, come along, be affirmed, be encouraged. But you might have heard that and thought, sometimes, occasionally, every now and then, but it's not regular. And so if that's the case, then hopefully this series will help you so that you don't become an endangered species yourself as a Christian. So tonight we're looking at the Bible and reading the Bible. Now, there's this fantastic verse in the New Testament that says, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. It's actually verses 16 and 17 that are on the screen there. This is a fantastic verse in what it says about the value of God's word and how useful it is. God's word helps us to know how to live in a way that pleases him. Now, this was written about the Old Testament scriptures. Okay, so when it says the scriptures, it's not referring to what we have as the New Testament, because that was still being written at the time. But we understand that the New Testament is also inspired by God and therefore useful for all of those things, so that we may not be lacking anything as we live our Christian life. And so that's why reading the Bible is very, very important for us, that we might know how God wants us to live as his people. Sometimes when you were young, you might have been given a puzzle book that maybe had a maze of some kind, and you, with a pencil, you come in, help Johnny find his way home from school is the maze, let's say. And there's all these pathways through the maze, and there's things not to go, you know, where the bullies hang out in the dark alley, although it is after school, 3 o'clock, so it's probably not that dark yet. But you've got to find the way through the maze, and various places lead to dead ends, but there's one way through that leads to home. And life can sometimes feel like one of those mazes. And we're not sure, we've got some choices. You know, do I go this way or do I go that way? I want to get to the door, but there's two ways here. Will it be a problem if I go this way? Or there's a third way. What if I went this way? It looks like it's going away from the door, but if there's a blockage over on the other ones, it might be the way I need to take. How do I know what's the right way to go? Thankfully, when you're a kid and you get these puzzle books, if you turn to the back, there's often a solution page, and you can see the line showing you which way to go. Well, the Bible is like the solution page to the maze of life. Right? It gives us direction to show us what decisions we should be making at various points along the way, so that we can get to the destination where we want to be, and that is in relationship with God and with him in heaven. So the Bible is very, very important for Christian people, that we might follow it and therefore get to where we want to be with God. And Psalm 1 is a great passage to look at for this. So make sure you've got it open in front of you and we'll have a little bit of look at it. It's basically two types of people that are being spoken about in the Psalm, and they're contrasted with each other. So the first group is the righteous. We find out about the two different groups in the very last verse, how they're titled, the righteous and the wicked. So the righteous are spoken about in the opening verse. How happy is the man who does not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path of sinners, or join a group of mockers. So this person is happy, or in some translations it says blessed. How blessed is the man? Blessed just means happy. Who does not do these three things. He does not follow the advice of the wicked, take the path of sinners, or join a group of mockers. So when someone gives him advice that's not from God's word, because they don't trust in God's word themselves, they say, no, do this, don't do what God says. The happy person is the person who ignores that advice and says, no, that's not what God says. It's contrary to what God says. And therefore, I'm not going to listen to it. Does not follow the counsel of the wicked, doesn't pay attention to them. And then after that, the second one there is doesn't take the path of sinners. And I think that one is talking about what you're thinking, your beliefs. The other one's talking about your behaviour. All right? He doesn't join in with the behaviour and take the path of those who are sinful. So when pressure is brought to bear, oh, come and join us in doing this, he says, no, I'm not going to be a part of that. Happy is the person who resists when sinners try and say, come and join with us. So he won't listen to them and he won't join with them. But then the third one that's there is the group of mockers, or even join a group of mockers. And I think that's talking about those who don't just ignore God's word, but actually treat God's word as something to be made fun of. All right? And so this is three stages here. Right? They don't listen to those people who say the wrong thing. So we're talking about what they're willing to believe. No, we're not going to believe that. That's not true. I'm going to believe what God says. They don't behave with those who ignore God and his word. And they don't belong with those who mock God and what God has to say. So there's a progression here, all right, that we see in this verse. And the happy person makes sure that they don't do any of those things. Why? Well, verse 2. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction and he meditates on it day and night. When you get a letter, a personalized letter, in the mailbox that's got your name handwritten on the front, it's kind of exciting, isn't it? Doesn't happen very often, perhaps, but when it does happen, you get that letter and you open it and you read it because someone has taken the trouble to write to you. And if it's from someone who you're in a good relationship with, a friend or someone who perhaps is overseas for a while and you miss them, you'll be even more excited to get that letter. If they're a loved one, oh, brilliant, even more excited, and you'll treasure it because they've written to you. If you're a Christian person and you love God, then the Bible is like God's letter to you. And this person who's happy meditates on it day and night. Now, meditates doesn't mean, you know, get the Bible open and get in a particular lotus position or whatever as you read it. It's more about thinking on what God says. So it doesn't mean you've got to read it day and night, but they read it regularly and they're thinking about what God has said to them. And God's thoughts are becoming their thoughts during the course of the day and in the evening. I sometimes say it'd be good if they actually wrote something like, and on God's word, he marinates day and night. You know when you get a good piece of meat and you get some yummy marinade together and herbs and whatnot, and you put it in the container and it's soaking and it's marinating and all the flavours from the marinade is getting into the meat so that when you then cook the meat and then eat it, every single mouthful you can just taste all these amazing flavours because the meat is full of the flavour of the marinade. Wouldn't it be cool if Christian people spent so much time soaking themselves in God's word that every time they do something or speak, it's like those around them are seeing God's word in action and hearing God's word, because God's word has so infused them and become a part of them that it shapes the way that they behave and the way that they speak. And I think that's kind of what's been going on here in this passage, that it's got the word here, meditates. He's constantly thinking about God's word. And look at the outcome, verse 3. He's like a tree planted beside streams of water that bears its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. So there's this image of a healthy, established, well-nourished, productive tree. And saying the person who spends their time in God's word is like that tree. The leaf does not wither. When hard times come and there's a lack of water coming from the sky, this tree is still strong because it's near the stream, all right? And it's feeding and the water's coming up into it. And so it continues to be healthy and it's bearing fruit. It's a good tree. And this tree is the image of the person who is spending time in God's word. As a Christian, they're established, they're strong, they're bearing fruit. They don't wither when hard times come because they're established in God's word. So that's the first group of people. Then you've got the wicked. So you have the righteous, now the wicked. Verse 4, the wicked are not like this. Instead, they're like chaff that the wind blows away. Now, chaff, if you're not familiar with this, imagine that over here I've got my grain and my wheat and so on that I've brought in from the field from harvest. And I want the little grain husks to be separated from the grain. But when they've been sort of all crunched up and thrashed around and so on to sort of shake all the grains off the stalks, I've then got to separate them. And like it takes forever just to separate Lego into its colours, let alone little grain things. I mean, imagine if you had a packet of hundreds and thousands and you had to get them all into their colours. It'd take a long time, wouldn't it? So what they would do is the grain was heavier than the husks around the grain. So they'd get themselves into a place that had a fair bit of breeze and wind, and they'd get their fork, it was called a winnowing fork, and they'd get a whole bunch of the harvest stuff and they'd throw it up into the air. And the wind would blow the husks away. And the husks were called the chaff, the stuff they didn't want. And the heavier grain would fall back down. And this is how they would separate the good from the bad. And it says this is what's going to happen to the wicked. They're like the chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not survive the judgment and sinners will not be in the community of the righteous. Some Bible passages say the assembly of the righteous. And I like that because it's a bit like at school. And everyone loves school assembly, don't you? You're all lined up in their rows. And when I was at school, I don't know how strict it is in your school, but in my school, if you were not wearing the right uniform, you stood out on assembly. All right? And you get in trouble. So we had this bottle green jumper, and you could wear a white shirt in senior school or a grey shirt in junior school. This is for the guys. And shorts for summer and long pants we had in winter, grey. And black shoes they wanted us to have. But we all wore brown shoes. We all wore what were called desert boots. Google it in images and you'll see the classy styles of the 1970s. And so if you were caught on assembly wearing desert boots, you'd get in trouble. You'd get a detention, okay? Because you're out of uniform. You'd be expelled from the assembly. A teacher would say, right, you, go and stand outside the staff room, please. And then someone else and be like, oh, busted because you're wearing desert boots. Or you've got to, like, imagine, I'm looking around the room, who stands out here? Okay. Everyone nowadays wears pretty grey and blacks. But we've got a bright green here that stands out. We've got a red over here that stands out. We've got a bright blue down here that stands out. A couple of mustard ones coloured. All right. You stand out when you're wearing something different to everyone else. The wicked will not be in the assembly of the righteous. They will stand out. And they will be expelled. They won't be allowed to be there. When God's people are gathered together on that final day before him, sinners will not be there in that community because they won't survive the judgment. The truth will be revealed that they had rejected God and they'd rejected his word. And as a result, God says, you don't want me. I will give you what you want. And that is a world without me. Get out. And they will have no place with God's people in God's presence. God gives people what they ask for. This is the wicked. They're blown away at the judgment and they do not stand because they have rejected God and his word. So you've got two groups. You've got those who love the Lord and his word, and you've got those who scoff at God's word and reject it. You've got those who meditate on the law of the Lord, and you've got those who walk in the counsel of the wicked. You've got those who will stand on Judgment Day, and you've got those who stand in the way of sinners. You've got those who join with the community of God's people, the righteous, and you'll get those who join with the mockers. You've got those who will produce fruit and those who are nothing but chaff, those who prosper and those who are blown away, those who are watched over by the Lord and those who perish. You've got the blessed and the happy, the righteous, and you've got the wicked. And the difference is their attitude to God's word. Now, as a Christian person, what am I going to have as an attitude to God's word? If I trust in God for my salvation, am I going to open what he says that I might live a life that pleases him? Or am I just going to say that's not important and God's word won't be important in my life? I hope that you would want to be like the happy person in the psalm, because God's word you delight in. And you read it and you think about it. You marinate in it. If you do that, you will be strong in your Christian faith because you will know what God wants you to be doing. But if you don't, then you put yourself at risk. Well, do you read your Bible? I know we open it here at church, but do you read it for yourself at home? Do you get it out and work your way through it bit by bit? And there's different ways that you can do it. You could choose, okay, I'm just going to read one of the Gospels to start with and read through, say, Mark's Gospel or one of the others. But there's also materials that can help you. There's resources that you can get. If you go on to Bible Gateway, there's an app you can get, a Bible app from them, and it's got a whole lot of reading plans. And you can choose one of those reading plans. And it'll give you a reminder each day that this is the passage to read for today, and you can read it and have a think about it. There are booklets that you can get which will help you to read through various passages of the Bible, and it'll ask you some questions, a little bit like the discussion questions on the green sheet at the back. It's about half the length of that in terms of questions to think about on the passage each day in some of these booklets, and we can get them for you if you're interested in that. Some of the girls that we saw in the interview are going to get up a little bit later and tell us about what they do for their own personal Bible reading as well. But as you in discussion groups tonight and you talk about reading the Bible, your leaders will be able to share with you what they do also. And so you can maybe talk in a group about the way that you read the Bible and encourage one another. Maybe get some friends together to read the Bible like the girls in the video do each week. I think there's some girls in year 7 at Chinnelly High also read the Bible together. They were doing it at Oyster Bay when they were in primary school, and I think they're still trying to do it at Chinnelly High. Reading God's word is one indication that you love him and that you want to hear what he says. I hope that we're not endangered when it comes to reading God's word, but that you're doing it and you're doing it regularly and encouraging those around you to do it as well. Let me pray and then we'll sing. Dear Lord God, we thank you for Psalm 1, which so clearly contrasts the two different groups of people, the righteous and the wicked, and the difference between them is their attitude to your word. Father, help us to have a right attitude to your word, that we might not listen to the voice of those who are opposed to you, that we might not belong with mockers or behave like sinners, but that we might be people who delight in your word and that we would meditate on it day and night. And we thank you that you promise when we do that, that we are strong in our knowledge of you and in the way that we are able to live for you, and that we will be counted among your people on that final day. So I pray for each person here that they would love your word, and that they would take steps to make sure that they're reading it regularly. And I pray this, that they might be counted among your people as well on that final day. Amen. I might just say, you are not saved by reading the Bible, right? You're saved by Jesus, but reading the Bible helps you to know how to live in response to that salvation.